Hi, everyone. Our scripture reading is going to be in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. And I did want to let you know, in case any of you are wondering, it is all natural. It's just not all there, all right? So just want to let that out there in case you're thinking that. The title of my Bible study that I'm going to deliver to you today is called Get a Grip. Has anyone ever told you that before? And I know quite a few of you here in this church have heard it a number of times. But it can mean different things depending on who's saying it and how the person uses it. The context that I'm going to use it tonight is to get a firm hold of. My title comes from a hobby that I've come to love, and it's a little bit wimpy, I'll admit, especially for some of the men that go to our church. But I must confess, I picked up the hobby of golf, you know. And while most of the tough men here are driving in their 4x4 pickups out in the woods looking for wild boar, I'm driving around in a little white golf cart, you know, trying to find a golf ball. They wear camo and I wear khaki. They go to the shooting range, I go to the driving range. They carry a 9mm. I use a 9-iron, and they're members of the NRA, and someday I'd like to be the member of the PGA, but it's provided me with a great opportunity to be able to witness. I go out, and a lot of times I'll avoid golfing with my peers because I don't like the competition of it, so I'll find an older person to play with, and it's a great trade-off. I help him find his balls. And he kind of builds my self-esteem because there's something to be said about a guy being able to outdrive a 90-year-old on a golf course. So it helps. And a lot of times I'll get the opportunity, as we're golfing, to hear their story. I get to share my testimony. And just even last week, I had the wonderful privilege to be able to share with an 80-year-old gentleman who just came out of the hospital 10 days before. I had gospel track with me, and I was able to share with him my faith and, you know, share with him the church that I go to. And I even was able to pass out another track to some guy that was just standing there, you know, not doing anything. So it's a great opportunity to be able to share my faith. And like hunting, there's all kinds of different challenges and differences on the courses depending on where you go. Some courses are fast, some are slow. Sometimes you're in the rough, sometimes you're on the fairway, sometimes there's water, sometimes there's sand. Sometimes it's wet, sometimes it's dry, it goes up and down, clear, obscure. Sometimes you're behind a tree, sometimes it's wide open. But no matter what course you're on and what situation you find yourself in, the key to successfully making a shot is a repeated swing that's correct and powerful and perfect every time. Once you develop that swing, you'll be able to play good golf, so I'm told, right? Which means you'll approach the ball with skill and be able to walk off the golf course with a little bit of dignity. And I haven't experienced that yet, by the way. But guess what the first and most important thing is to a successful swing when you're playing golf? It's your grip. It's how you hold that golf club. And if you ever watch the TV shows or the games, the first thing that the golfers do when they get out of, you know, when they get ready for a hole or get off a golf cart, is they grab hold of that club and make sure they have a good firm grip on the club that they're ready to use. Now I'm going to segue that into a little bit more of a spiritual context. And again, that's where we get our scripture called, Get a Grip. When we walk out into the situations and circumstances that God places us in, how firm and secure is our grip on the Word of God? John 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And the most important thing that we have in our Christian walk is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit through the guidance of God's Word. As Christians, our key to being a successful witness in any situation and where God may place us to have a powerful, consistent walk with the Lord starts with getting a grip on the Word of God. Here at First Baptist Church of Coconut Creek, we should all have a very good working knowledge of the Word of God, especially because many of us hear the messages three times a week. And so when we approach a situation in life, we aren't hacking our witness away. Picture the golfer who doesn't know how to grab hold of the golf club, who doesn't know how to grip his club. They're all over the place. You know, they walk up to the ball, and you see the movies where it flies out of their hand. The ball goes this way. The ball goes that way. Now picture the Christian that's placed in a situation or a circumstance, and instead of bearing witness to Christ and giving glory to God, they're causing confusion, getting frustrated, and eventually blowing their witness for Christ. As we study through the Word, we can see there was such an inconsistency, and many of you who go to the morning Bible studies know, as we're looking at the Judges, such an inconsistency in the walk of the Israelites. The result was that there was no forward movement. There was no growth. They were continually wandering aimlessly all over the place, which kind of looks like me on the golf course, you know? And it's very similar to some Christians who don't have a good grip on God's Word. In 1 Timothy 3:16, we're going to see four benefits of getting a grip on God's Word. And as we look at the Scripture, and I'll read it now, is all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I'm going to use the word GRIP as an acronym tonight to present the benefits of getting a grip on God's Word. And so the first thing that we'll see as we get a grip on God's Word is we get grounded in doctrine. If you look at the first part of 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, we see all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is a body of beliefs, principles, and teachings foundational to the Christian faith. Sound doctrine is important because our faith is based on a specific message, and we dare not tamper with God's communication of His Word to this world. Our duty is to deliver a message, never to change it. Sound doctrine is important because what we believe affects what we do. Two men are standing on a bridge. One man believes he can fly, and the other one believes he cannot. The outcome of that situation is going to be very dissimilar. Same is true with a Christian. You have one Christian who isn't grounded in the Word, doesn't have a good grip of the Word, but they believe that God is a loving God and would never send anyone to hell. Now we have another believer who has a good grip on the Word, and this believer believes that God is a holy and just God and must punish sin. One Christian's approach to an unbeliever in a situation will be totally different from the other. Sound doctrine is important also because we must ascertain truth in a world full of falsehood. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul charges that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. People who don't have a firm grip on sound doctrine are easily deceived. If we wish to know what we believe and why we believe it, we should make Bible study a regular habit in our Christian walk. Having a firm grip on the Word gives us a firm foundation in the doctrines that we believe, giving us a confidence to approach any situation. Next, we see that getting a grip on God's work is good also for reproof. God's Word is good also for reproof and correction. And we see that in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, for reproof and correction. And for the purpose of the study, I'm going to group those two together. So the R in the word grip is reproof and correction. We learned in our lesson today, for many of you who studied in Judges chapter 6, that God speaks to His children either through the loving voice of Scripture or the heavy hand of chastening. And if we ignore the first, we must endure the second. One way or another, the Lord is going to get our attention and deal with us. And we live in a very perilous time because truth is relative in the age that we live in now. There's really no definition of right or wrong in the world that's out there today. We have the culture that exists from the Generation Y and from the millennials. And if you've ever had a chance, and I know I talk about it a lot because in my work environment, there's so many Generation Ys and so many millennials that just don't believe that there's a truth, that there's a right and a wrong. And sometimes I love it. You know, I'll come into a restaurant, and that's kind of where I work, and I'll just watch them do something. And I just walk up to them and say, what you're doing is wrong. I won't sugarcoat it. I won't sweeten it up. And I just say it kind of like in a little bit of a rough way, just to see how they react. Because our generation today, they're not used to hearing that what they're doing is wrong. They've been taught that wrong is relative, truth is relative, so who are you to tell me that I'm doing something wrong? So try it sometime on a young person. Just tell them you're wrong and see the reaction that's on their face. The problem with golf is that you think you're doing it right until you go out with a professional. And then he starts showing you all the things that you're doing wrong, and your head's tilted this way, and your knees bent this way, and your hips twisting wrong. And that isn't the case, or it shouldn't be the case with a Christian. We don't need somebody to walk behind us every second to tell us that what we said or what we did or our heart or motive is wrong. Although there are times when we do need a spiritual brother or a sister, somebody who's mature and loving in the Lord, to kind of point us in the right direction and show us in the Word, you know, hey, what we're doing is wrong. But praise God, we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, and we have access to His Word. So when we step out of line, right away, the Holy Spirit should begin to prick our hearts and say, hey, what you did was wrong, or what you said was wrong. And there should be immediate conviction if we're sensitive to the Spirit. The idea is that we study God's Word, and it gets us straight when we're either doing something or believing something that violates God's Word. It can show us when we are wrong, so long as we are willing to look at the Bible objectively and with an open heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of heart." So all we really need to do is get a good grip on God's Word, and He's going to show us when we step out of line in our daily walk. Getting a grip on God's Word and allowing it to daily correct our hearts and attitude before we go out and approach a situation is when we see God's power work through us, and he gets the glory. Not only does getting a grip on God's Word ground us in doctrine, it also reproves and corrects us. Have you ever thought, okay, stop telling me, maybe you thought this before, stop telling me when I'm doing wrong. All right, I got enough people in my life that are telling me when I'm doing wrong. You know, start telling me what I'm doing is right. And hopefully we have Christians, you know, in our church and in our midst that have that spirit where, you know, they don't need somebody to walk behind them and say, hey man, you're out of line, you know. And again, I understand that, you know, it happens. You know, we live in a world and we can be deceived, and sometimes we can have the blinders on as well. But hopefully we're having that hard attitude where we go to the Word, okay, and be as David did, show me, O Lord, you know, if there's any wicked way in me. We look at that attitude of stop showing me what I'm doing wrong, and then we see our next benefit, which is show me what I'm doing right. And that's where we see the letter I, instructed in righteousness. So somebody who has a good grip on God's Word is going to be instructed in righteousness. We discover by examining the Bible those things that please the Lord and those things which do not. The Bible instructs a Christian in righteousness by showing him how he can live a God-honoring life and fulfill the Lord's purposes in his own walk. Scripture should not be viewed as a guidebook of rules and regulations to be rigorously complied with. But when we diligently study it, when we hide it in our hearts, making its teachings an integral part of who we are, our sensitivity to those things that offend God and displease Him becomes far more acute, and we find ourselves operating under God's grace. Righteous works will be the natural outcome of God's indwelling Spirit and getting a grip on God's truth. All we have to do is look at the Gospels and see how Jesus lived. Look at how he served others. Look at the example as we go through the book of Acts and how the disciples lived and how they preached and how they taught. John 16, verse 13 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of me and shall show it unto you." So we have the instruction of righteousness as we get a good grip on God's Word. Lastly, the benefit that we have is the letter P. And we can see it in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, which is, or 17, which is perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's the goal. Perfect refers to the development of the inner man. Thoroughly furnished refers to the outer man, the development of our talents and our gifts. When it comes to spiritual talents and gifts, one size doesn't fit all, clearly. You know, what God has designed us as we just, you know, learned from Aaron that in different ways. And so each one of us has different levels of spirituality, different levels of accountability, and we all require a different amount of time to be developed in God's word. To be thoroughly furnished is to be outwardly complete, to be complete and proficient as a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. And so that's the goal. When we go out into the world, you know, we have a good grip on God's word and we're able to be proficient as a workman. The Bible prepares us to be spiritually mature and encourages us to develop our talents and gifts. The equipment is imparted to a believer when they get a grip on the Bible and make it an integral part of his life or her life. God's word working inside of the heart and mind, and the ultimate goal is that God would get the glory. Matthew 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And that's why we should all have a real firm, solid grip on God's word, so that we're grounded in doctrine, we're reproofed and we're corrected, we're instructed in righteousness, and we're perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Wouldn't you all want that? And no matter where God has us or what situation we are in, we can approach the situation in confidence, knowing that his will was accomplished and that he will be glorified. The wonderful thing is when we get a grip on God's word, you know what happens? God's word gets a grip on us. And so that's the message today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord,